Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, so there's our cue to begin talking again. The home team presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, be golden.
Look at
Chris and Jeff.
I love when you scrunch your face a little bit and look at the board, I'm thinking the gremlins might be here.
Yeah, sometimes things start looking weird. But no one's been in here since 10 minutes ago when we were here, so.
That's what we think, right?
Could be just operator error this time.
Nah, you don't ever mess that.
All right, let's get into today's 5 at 5, brought to you, as always, by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Jeff, you will be required to scream this answer. LeBron James. He has opted out of his contract. Please yell at me. Where is he going?
He is staying home in the Cleve,
wow,
baby.
Wow, so you were on that too.
Yeah, I think so. Where else is he going to go in the East? It's going to have a better crack at it. I don't see him going to Boston.
What about L.A.?
They in the West.
Yes, I know.
If he was going to go, the Houston talk has died. So, I mean, what do you say? You're more.
I think he's going back to Cleveland.
What are the betting
odds? What do I know? I don't know anything.
What are the betting odds?
I want the
say?
Hawks to get him. The Lakers. The Lakers are the favorite. And okay. The betting odds also today, with the news that he opted out, moved Cleveland from 12-1 to win the NBA title to 40-1. But him opting out doesn't mean really any doesn't really change Cleveland's chances. In fact, some people say it gives them a better chance of having him back, because had he opted in, it probably would have indicated that LeBron actually had a trade in mind, and basically then he would have opted back in and Cleveland would have dealt him somewhere instead. So the fact that he opted out is better news for Cleveland than had he opted in. But yeah, ultimately, I just think he's going to end up staying there. The Lakers stuff I don't see the Lakers as being if LeBron is like, I need to put myself in a better position to win an NBA championship. I just don't get where LA right now looks really that much better than what he's leaving behind in Cleveland. Because you would have Lonzo Ball. This is barring, like, no trade for Leonard. You'd have Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, KCP.
They're younger, but the roster is not markedly better than Cleveland's, especially now Cleveland got Sexton, who could be an impact player.
Yeah, and you'd still have Love there.
Sure.
And also, it's just
J.R. Smith, the most brilliant time management player in the league.
Yeah, and there's no way LeBron's going to play with him anymore. But it's also just the path there that if it's you got Golden State's the team you got to knock off, then you at least get to the NBA Finals to do it, as opposed to, all right.
He's not getting to the finals with another, unless he goes to Golden State, he's not going to the finals out of the West.
Right, it's just an easier route to the NBA Finals for him, is to stay in the East, and stay with Cleveland.
All right, let's put, you don't even have to wear the tinfoil hat too tight, and Chris, we've been known to do it every now and then. The NBA wants him to stay in the East as well. Unless they totally revamp how they do the playoffs, which that would be one of those things that might seem like a good idea in the short term, but you talk about a slippery slope. If they all of a sudden said, just because, like, let's say LeBron goes to Houston. Oh, gosh. Well, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to reseed. We're going to do 1 through 16 and not do East versus West. They would lose so much credibility for doing that. I don't see any way they could do that.
No. I mean,
you can't change the way it's been.
No,
since the advent of the league, yeah, just to set it up, to keep it the way it's been. So I think the NBA wants him to stay East.
Yeah, I mean, I think they do too, and I don't know, maybe that'll be, if there's any pitch that's made to him, maybe it'll come from Adam Silver to be like, listen, LeBron, you can go wherever you want, obviously.
What's best for the league?
But, wouldn't you rather stay in the Eastern Conference?
Atlanta Hawks.
The Hawks are in the Eastern Conference.
That would help the rebuild.
I don't know if the rest of the Hawks roster really. I mean, they'd win the East just because they have him, but I don't really think that puts them any closer to knocking off Golden State.
No.
Even though they've got the next Steph Curry now and Trae Young.
But they traded away the next Dirk.
Ah.
My name is Luka. Just don't like that move. They drafted the right guy, and then they let him go.
Yeah.
Ken Phelps. My people keep telling me, Ken Phelps.
Yeah. Boy, and it's one of those things, too, where, man, Travis Schlenk is basically out on his own with that because it's pretty, you know, universally panned, at least with Hawks fans, so they don't like it. And I know I was talking to some today, and, you know, they've gotten to the point now where it's like what's done is done.
He's here. You might as well embrace
it. So now you're talking yourself into like, oh, no, Trae Young will be fine. He'll be really good. And then, you know, Kevin Werter, oh, yeah, he's going to be our Klay Thompson. And then Omari Spellman is Draymond Green. They got it. They've cloned the Golden State Warriors.
And then just LeBron signs with the Hawks, and Atlanta's got its Durant.
And they've got Durant.
In the finals.
Yeah.
Piece of cake. So, all right, so we're thinking now with Luka Doncic being gone, I'm going back to as many Yanks fans agonizing the 80s, including Cosmo Kramer when he comes into Jerry's apartment. That's Steinbrenner. I've had him with it. McGee, McGriff, Drayback, Buehner, I'm aware of the list. So now for the Hawks, you know, even going back to the 48 hours they had Dr. J, David Thompson, Dr. J,
Pau Gasol,
Doncic,
Arvidas Sabonis, Giant Gonzalez,
El Gigante,
they had him.
I'm still the fact that David Thompson thing, I still am having a hard time wrapping my head around. They could have potentially had the coolest team in history, Dr. J, Pete Maravich, and David Thompson. That would have been the funnest team in the history of the sport
and wasn't,
to watch.
Wasn't that when they wore the neon green unis, too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In the 70s?
Yeah.
Yeah, they'd have had those guys.
The lime green.
Oh, yeah, they'd have been wearing those things.
With David Thompson, Dr. J, and Pistol Pete? You kidding?
Yeah.
Now, they probably could have only kept them together for one.
They'd
maybe
have hated
two,
each other.
Maybe 2 years.
There's not enough shots to go around.
But still.
Coach, he's shooting too much.
But still.
Yeah, that would have. I mean, it would have lasted, a year or two at tops.
But it would have been,
magnificent.
Team. Well, that was the thing, too, when Philly had the team that lost to Portland in 77. I mean, Dr. J was obviously the star. They had Bobby Jones, a young Daryl Dawkins, and Caldwell Jones. But they had both George McGinnis, whose son Jeff played for North Carolina, and World B. Free. And Lloyd, World B. Free, he and McGinnis were just putting up too many shots. It's like, come on, you got Dr. J and Bobby Jones, so Philly had to deal those guys away. But, man, it was a great year for him that 1 year.
Yeah. But, you know, you'll always have the memory. Just that one season. All right, moving on to the 5-5, Jeff. The Braves, first place still. But they are about to begin a brutal 10-day, 10-game road trip. Starts tonight with 3 in St. Louis. Cardinals are in third place, but they are 5 over .500. Then they go to the Bronx to play the Yankees, who are a game behind Boston in the AL East. And then they go to Milwaukee to play the Brew Crew, who are in first place in the National League Central. So, Jeff, what's the Braves' record coming out of this? Will they still be in first place? And is this really a big deal road trip for Atlanta?
I think so. When you consider it's 10 games away from home, 3 tough places to play. I mean, obviously the Yankees and the Cardinals, you don't get any more royal than that. And then Milwaukee's a young upstart there. So, Chris, this is the 5-5. Can the Braves go 5-5? With their pitching, they'll probably be one of the games in the Bronx. They're probably going to give up double-digit runs. Just the odds are pretty good that lineup's going to absolutely hammer them one game.
Yeah, I mean, I guess with – so you got Tehran tonight, and then you've got Max Fried is going to pitch tomorrow because McCarthy went on the DL, and I think they're talking about maybe having
– They need Newcomb to pitch in New York.
Yeah, I think Newcomb's going to definitely be back in the road. He'll be one of those games in New York he'll start because I think they're potentially Fultonevich will pitch Sunday, but I don't know if Atlanta's – definitely decided even on that yet at this point.
They could go 5-5. Acuna's back. Is he going to play tonight?
Yeah, he's in the lineup tonight.
All right, that's good.
Yeah. But I guess if Tehran's pitching tonight, that would put him. He'd pitch on the 4th of July, wouldn't he?
On Wednesday.
Day game in the
Yankees will score like 14 runs on the 4th.
Oh, how many home runs are they going to hit? Afternoon?
I got them 5 bombs that day.
All right, they're going to hit 5 home runs off Tehran on the 4th of July.
The Braves are losing on Wednesday.
The Rockets' red glare.
Be a lot of vapor trails. But no, Newcomb could win up in the Bronx.
Oh, not only can he win, he is.
All right.
That guy's going to torture that Yankees lineup.
Can they get one in St. Louis?
Let's say Atlanta went 3-7, that's still, they'd have 48 wins coming out of it. I mean, it's a 10-game stretch in a 162-game season. So,
well, let me ask you this: would you take 4-6 with the caveat that you're still in first place?
Yeah,
I would.
Yeah,
I would.
Yeah, yeah.
Even 4-6, because then if you go 1-2 in St. Louis, 1-2 in the Bronx, and they play 4 at Milwaukee, right?
Yeah.
Okay, then 2-2 with Milwaukee?
Yeah.
I'd take that.
So, that's the rub. There's no off day here. It's 10 days, 10 games.
Yeah. And they're kind of going – the travel, they're kind of making a triangle there, aren't they, going from St. Louis to New York
to
Milwaukee.
And then back to Milwaukee. It'd make more sense to go St. Louis, Milwaukee, and then end it in the Bronx. But, yeah, they're going the other way. Because you got to have that marquee matchup on the 4th of July.
That will be pretty cool. Julio Tehran.
Yeah.
Plus a guy named Tehran from one of our bitter enemies in New York City on the 4th of July. It's going to be a beating that day.
But he, so I guess that would put him in, that would be his next start, wouldn't it?
They might need to push him
back. Because that is a day game. That's a 105 start.
Well, I'll be watching that one. But no, Newcomb could absolutely win in the Bronx. And, St. Louis, they're always good. They're solid. They don't have they don't have an overpowering lineup, and they don't have, a Cy Young caliber pitcher. But it's always tough.
Now they're beatable. I think the Braves can win 2 out of 3 this weekend, lose 2 out of 3 at the Yankee Stadium,
3-3, and then
split. And then split with Milwaukee.
They'd still be in first place.
That's 5-5, right?
Like you said, the key though, Washington and Philadelphia for the Braves. They just don't need a sweep there.
Yeah, but I don't know. Even if it was like a worst-case scenario where Atlanta just really struggled because it's a 10-day trip, 10 games, all on the road against 3 really good teams, Atlanta's 11 games over .500.
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to sink them in any way, shape,
or form.
Just
don't go 0-10, yeah.
0-10 would be bad. Even if they went 0-10, they'd still be a game over .500, though.
But would probably not be in first place anymore. The great Jack Bowerly just tweeted about, you can tweet us at 960 the ref. At Jeff Dantzler TV, Brame is still hidden on Twitter, even though for a 9th straight year, folks, we need to get the tweets coming in. Congratulations, Chris Brame, voted most handsome man in all of Athens radio. The great Jack Bowerly tweets in, says the Braves will go 5-5, feeling that Atlanta is as good as the Cardinals and the Brewers. So there you go.
Okay.
There's Jack.
What about the Yankees, Jack?
Left the empire out there.
I mean, the Braves don't have anyone that strikes out like Giancarlo Stanton does.
That guy, that guy strikes out like I would at a Victoria's Secret convention.
Well, the Yankees better throw a bunch of lefties at him, because if they let Ozzie Albies hit left-handed in that series, he's going to be taking them over that
short porch.
Yeah, that's how Babe Ruth hit all those home runs. You know, built that short wall out there.
Short porch.
Also, he had all those ragged arm dudes that he got to hit against.
Center field is pretty
good.
How many
pitches did you throw the night before? 200. Get out there.
He was one of those guys, too.
Yeah. Well, that guy for, that guy for Oregon State last night, he pitched an inning on Wednesday. Then threw a CG.
Well, what the guy for Duke did here, he had thrown 2 days earlier, threw 70-something pitches. And the thing is, that's what sometimes you'll hear. Postseason baseball is different. It is. You can't go a whole season to have a guy throw 78 pitches, then 2 days later throw over 100 pitches. But you can absolutely do that a couple of times. When the season's on the line, absolutely. You can't go through a whole season doing that.
Right, yeah.
But you can do that at the end. I mean, think about when Randy Johnson came out of the bullpen to beat the Yankees in 2001.
Yeah, you got the whole offseason to rest arm after that.
Absolutely.
Well, speaking of Arkansas, as they predictably did not win last night's game after just blowing the game on Wednesday night. Jeff, is that the worst beat ever for an SEC school the way Arkansas lost the College World Series?
Boy, in my memories of January 8th, McCarron to Cooper, and only Georgia could have a catch on the last play and have the game end on it. And
Blackledge that is something.
And Marino, those are horrific. But the game wasn't in our hands if we just do something that I don't want to say was easy. It was a long way to run, but yeah. It is a play you make 99 out of 100 times.
Even like thinking of when Ole Miss lost to it was Bryce Drew, Valpo, right?
Yes, but that was a great play they ran.
But like, yeah, a guy hit a shot.
Yeah, it was a neat play. I mean, I'll tell you, like, and again, this wasn't for a national championship. Ole Miss has lost to Arkansas when the guy threw it over his head and it went to Alex Collins and they got the first down.
That was for a national championship, Alabama's.
I know. Like, that was a horrible beat. But, again, it wasn't in the game. I mean, I'm not going to say it's necessarily the worst, but it's the most unique and just the one where you got to say, my goodness, it's a play we make 99 out of 100 times. And, you know, I think the other cruel part was you think about, remember game one, their first baseman made that incredible diving catch in foul territory. And then that's a ball that's probably the right fielder's coming in. And I get it, Shaddy, their second baseman, he either didn't get drafted or didn't get drafted high. He's a Fayetteville guy. He'll come back for a senior. He had a great year. He's a tremendous player. I'm going to make this catch to win it. He was a little too juiced up. He overruns the thing, and then nobody even gets a glove on it. And
the second that ball got hit, though, the thought was like, well, that's it. The game's over. And then all of a sudden it lands.
They were going to get the hit to tie the game.
Yeah. And then you knew last night they were going to win the game.
You know, when Oregon State hit the home run to go up 5-3, the series was over. Even if they would have gotten out of there at 3-3.
They'd had a shot.
Maybe their lineup's so good, maybe somebody runs into one.
Well, they did get the leadoff guy on. And in that situation, then you do lay down a sacrifice bunt because you need one run to win. But
and again,
then you
lineup,
get the guy at second, and you got you got two cracks to get him in.
Yeah, and that lineup's got 5-6 guys with double digit homers. So absolutely, but I mean to fall behind like that, just stunned.
Well, yeah, and then that lineup had
got two hits last
20 night. Straight outs to finish it up, and for the first time all year they were shut out. Like they hadn't been shut out since like last April. Been over a year since they had been shut out.
What happened to us not trailing until the last play of the game was hideously brutal.
Yeah. In that instance, though, an SEC school won.
Makes it even worse.
But not the SEC champion. That's one of my favorite off-season things, in these magazines, which are like, talk about Georgia and Alabama and like, can Georgia win the SEC? It's like, you mean the defending SEC champ? Can they win it?
Think about this for Bama. And again, this is how – now, the first one in 2011, it wasn't even the playoff. That was a BCS. If somebody would have told you, what if I told you 20 years ago, 30 years ago, heck, 10 years ago, that a team in a seven-year period would twice not make their conference championship game and would beat a team from their league for the whole thing. That's implausible.
But it really happened. It happened.
I'm aware.
But if you had asked that, I would have said, well, the team that benefits from that is going to be Alabama.
There's one other team that would.
Ohio State?
Oh, yeah.
And then there's Notre Dame, but they're not even in a conference.
So that wouldn't count.
Right. All right, Jeff, moving on to the 5-5 time for our continuing series. You are a blank. Yesterday, you were a South Carolina fan. You said 9 wins is what it would take to keep you satisfied this fall, but you did not think South Carolina would get it.
I don't. The Expies are up over there, my friend.
Jeff, today you are a Tennessee fan. What is the season that the Volunteers can have this fall that will actually leave a decent taste in your mouth at the end of it?
A decent taste. I think you got to get back to Butch's first year and the guy with the overalls. I think you got to get to 6. You know, they brought. I think bringing in the transfer quarterback from Stanford – has jacked the expectations up some. And, you know, you got to me, for them to get there, they have to win that West Virginia game, don't they? Because you figure they'll beat East Tennessee and UTEP. And then I think you're thinking realistically, out of Tennessee, Georgia, Auburn, Bama, and South Carolina, could you get one there? You beat Charlotte. Then out of Kentucky, Missouri, and Vandy, you got to get two there.
Yeah,
if they lose to West Virginia, they've got to pick somebody off.
Right.
Agree?
Yeah, I mean, that's a key, just to get to bowl eligibility.
Right, right.
But even last year, they did win their opening game and still ended up 4-8.
Yes, they did. Let's say they lose to West, by God. They beat East Tennessee, beat UTEP. Then again, out of Florida, so that would give them 2-1. Out of Florida, the Dogs, Auburn, Bama, and South Carolina. Let's say they get one. That gets them to 3-5, is that right?
Yeah. That's one where I just what's the one that they get there?
God, hopefully not here. Let's say they beat Charlotte to go 4-5. Then out of Kentucky, Missouri, and Vandy, can they win two?
Yeah.
Those are
the three games to me that are key. It's like at the end of the year, even if somehow they end up with five wins and short of bowl eligibility again, if I'm a Tennessee fan, I want to beat Kentucky, Missouri, and Vanderbilt.
I mean, even if Missouri came in there and beat them, I think if you're Tennessee, if you beat East Tennessee, UTEP, and Charlotte, and you lose the rest of them, if you beat Tennessee and Vandy to go 5-7, you've made progress.
Right, because that's what, you know, Fulmer, I read a quote from him a couple months ago about how they think every day about what it's going to take to beat Georgia and Florida. And I'm like, at this point, you need to focus on beating Kentucky and Vanderbilt and Missouri, and then you can worry about trying to beat the Dogs at Gators.
Well, and that's the thing, too. You know, one of the things, big picture, that hit here in 2015, we were a lot closer to losing to Georgia Southern and Tech than we were to beating Florida and Alabama.
Right.
So you got to get to that point. And that's why last year everything just went up exponentially, because, you know, we won the games we were supposed to win that were losses or that were tight the year before. Like, we blew out Vanderbilt. Now, we beat Kentucky by 32 points. We beat Missouri by 25 points.
And let's the last 2 years, Vanderbilt's beaten them 42-24 and 45-34.
Right.
And then Missouri beat them last year 50-17.
After beating Florida, what, 45-19? Is that right?
Yeah. Ooh. So if I'm – yeah. For Tennessee standpoint, it would be great to get six wins and be in a bowl game somewhere, but ultimately I'd like to go 3-0 against Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and Missouri.
Unless Drew Locke gets hurt. They ain't beating Missouri.
Missouri game, it's in Knoxville at least.
They ain't beating them. Missouri's been very good against. I'd be curious what their record is since coming into the league against Tennessee. Missouri's been good against the Vols.
Let's see.
Because even
Missouri Missouri beat them 31-3 and 13, 29-21 and 14. Tennessee got them in 15, 16, and then lost to them last year. So, I mean, Missouri's won at least three of the last five.
And in 2012, they beat them too in overtime, because that was a tough loss for Derek in 2012.
So Missouri then has won
4-2.
Four of the six games.
So Missouri and Vandy are both 4-2 against Tennessee the last 6 years.
Yes,
before you worry about Georgia and Florida, and then Alabama.
Right, and that's why, again, those last three games are the key games, especially Vandy.
They should be. I mean, Tennessee
shouldn't be losing to Vandy by double digits, which they've done now the last 2 years.
No.
All right, we'll take a break. There's your 5 at 5, brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.